All right, hi everybody, how you doing? My name's Tom Hall and I'm hosting this brand new series from the Rock to the Cloud. In this series of videos, we're going to be talking to some amazing people from around the Microsoft ecosystem, talking about everything to do with Windows Server. Every episode I'm going to meet a special guest and they're going to help me explain a few things about some of our technology that quite frankly I probably don't understand, and I'm pretty sure some of you don't too, but I know you're interested and I know you're excited. If you have any questions during the episode, or if there's anything you want to know, please drop the comments in below. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about something pretty big, something pretty exciting, and that's Azure Arc. Now, there's been a lot of buzz around this, so we really needed somebody clever and smart who knows what they're doing to come and talk about this. So for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to be catching up with Thomas Moira, although I probably said that wrong. Thomas, how do you say your name? What did we say again? I can't remember now.
Hi, Tom. Great to be here. Well, you call it Maurer, but you almost had it there, so we were very close.
Maurer. Yeah. Thomas Maurer. That's okay. That's my dyslexic ability of reading names there. So Thomas Maurer. But and Thomas, you're actually a bit of a legend, apparently, in the industry inside Germany. So we've reached out across the continent to find the person who knows the most about this sort of subject that we can get our hands on, for our audience today. So we're very excited to have you. So if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit more about it, because I've obviously bigged you up a little bit, saying that you're probably the best person in Europe to talk about this. But what, in your own opinion, is your own intro of yourself?
So first of all, you set the bar very, very high. I like during your intro, I get very blushed. I'm like, I'm probably red on camera right now. But yeah, so my name is Thomas Maurer. I work as a cloud advocate in our Azure engineering teams, and I'm part of a global team. And what we do on a very high level is actually we create and deliver content, such as, for example, this video, as well as, like, for example, docs, learn articles, blogs. We speak at conferences and all that good stuff. And again, it can be many, many different things. We also write little tools that might help you working with technology. But the other big part, which probably a lot of people don't see, is we gather a lot of feedback. So we we try to get feedback from our customers to understand what is working, what is not working, how can we make our products more better and make you, our customers, more successful with that. And this is a very big part of our job too, and actually like helping customers to, again, to be more successful with the stuff we do. And as you can see, that's probably why I'm here. I obviously did a lot of work on Windows Server or with Windows Server, and now especially like over the last couple of years with Azure, and especially hybrid and multi-cloud technology such as Azure Arc and Azure Stack.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we've obviously got the right person because that intro, I think, covers it all off. So but let's jump into the topic today, Thomas. Let's talk about Azure Arc. Yeah, let's go. Okay, so before we talk about Azure Arc, what is it all about? What problem are Microsoft trying to solve? What is the challenge for the customers that Microsoft are trying to solve with this product? Because again, there's loads of products out there that Microsoft have got. How is this any different to any other products? And you know, there's a lot of buzz around it, but what are Microsoft trying to solve for?
Yep. So, I mean, if you're watching this video, this is probably not something really new to you, right? But what we see is that customer environments get increasingly complex, right? So there is a lot of like things added, like which add complexity for the IT departments, but also for developers, especially like with movements to the cloud and also with new technology and bringing all that together. And that is what we try to address, right? And there are multiple reasons. We try to have a look at what are actually the reasons for it. And there are multiples of those. But three I want to highlight are, like, the first one is really that IT needs to manage hundreds, if not thousands, of different applications, right? And these can be very modern applications written on like PaaS services in Azure, serverless technologies, containerized stuff. But then we also have this huge amount of traditional applications running on servers, some of them virtual and some of them even physical, right? And guess what? Those servers, they're not just going away. And so we need to actually find a way to actually help IT departments and developers and IT administrators to actually manage all of these systems. The other part is what we also see is when we speak about management, we also have very diverse infrastructure when we look at customers. Some customers run their own data centers. They have stuff at some service providers. They run, they have edge locations like branch offices, retail stores, and so on. And then last but not least, we see customers obviously also adopting in some sort of multi-cloud environments as well. This sometimes is a strategy where they actually want to have multiple cloud providers. And sometimes it's just like the history of it, right? Probably some department already started with a cloud provider, but then there was a general decision that Azure would be the best cloud provider for the company, which by the way is often very, very true. But so they need to like somehow still manage all of that. And again, you can imagine that adding a cloud provider adds some additional complexity. So adding multiple cloud providers obviously like doesn't make things easier. So we try to help actually manage all this stuff and make it easier.
And I suppose that you touched on a few things there. And I think one of the things that, you know, we're having more of these discussions in the UK with more of our partners about hybrid, about multi-cloud, like, you know, these are sort of massive buzz terms that are going around the industry, but like, why are they important? Because obviously it just sounds to me like it's actually just more complication. So,
No, and this is a fair point, right? And I think when you probably speak to Microsoft salespeople very often, you probably just think, oh, well, it's all about the cloud, it's all about cloud, it's all about cloud, right? But that's not necessarily the case. I mean, obviously, the cloud has a lot of advantages and can help you with a lot of things. But we know that our customers need to run also stuff on-prem. They want to run stuff on-prem. They want to run stuff in a hybrid environment. And I always quote Jason Sanders here, who did the keynote directly after Satya at Ignite 2019, when we still had in-person conferences. And for those who don't know, Jason Sanders is actually the engineering lead of all the Azure services directly under Scott Guthrie. And he did what he said, basically, and that was for me the most important part that someone so high up says this, is like hybrid is going to be an end state for most of our customers and not just an in-between state until everything is moved to the cloud. So that means we actually need to help our customers in these hybrid environments, right? We want to actually deliver technologies which helps them to make their on-premises environment even better, right? And actually help them with that. And we don't just want to convince them, well, just move everything over. No. We also want to see there is a need. This can be data sovereignty reasons. This can be networking challenges. This can be just like trust things. So Azure is a great place to run stuff, but there are reasons why you probably can't run it there. So we want to help you.
So I just want to get this right in my head. So hybrid is actually whatever you want, whichever way you want it, a bit of on-prem, a bit of cloud, a bit of private cloud, mixed up in the way you need it. And that is then, you know, you could have multiple clouds. So you could have a other less reputable brand of cloud, AWS or something rubbish like that. And then you could also then have Azure. You could have all of those things all working at the same time. That's then multi-cloud. And so then how is Azure helping with that?
Yeah, so you can imagine now you end up in a situation where you run stuff in your own data center, you run stuff in Azure, you run stuff maybe at not a cloud provider, you run stuff at some edge locations. And for all these different places, very often what we see is you have different management tools. You have one management tool to manage your stuff on-prem, you have one management tool to manage your stuff in Azure, then also the other cloud provider provides some management stuff. And it's very tricky, right? And there's a lot of effort to actually use all of that. And it's, again, a lot of complexity. And so we're trying to say, well, our management tools, and that a lot of customers tell us this, like our management tool in Azure are actually so good to manage resources at scale even. Why not just enable customers to actually be able to use the Azure portal and the Azure Resource Manager and the Azure management tools to manage resources which are running outside of Azure. And that is exactly what Azure Arc can do.
Right, that sounds pretty amazing. Can you show us that, Thomas?
Absolutely, let's have a quick look and switch to the demo here.
Cool. It's almost perfect. Like we had that planned, Thomas, I don't know.
Yeah, it looks very like a big coincidence here. So here I am in the Azure portal, right? And what I can do here is, for example, I can go into the all resources page. And what you can see here actually is all the Azure resources. Now, for those who are not that familiar with Azure or really haven't really played with Azure, everything in Azure is basically an object. Like we learned that very soon that like in Azure, what you need to do is you need to have the right tools to manage this. And you can see here, I have different names here, and then you can see here the types. So you have virtual machines are an object, disk are an object, network interfaces are an object, databases and so on. Basically, really everything is an object, and every object can then be grouped in a resource group, and it's part of an Azure subscription, and it's basically joined to a location, right? And so you can then also go out and organize your things here. You can actually go out and say, well, okay, I want to list all my resources in a specific location, or I want to list all my virtual machines and so on. Now, again, customer told us this is great, but we want to actually, why can we not use this for resources which are outside of Azure? And that is what I want to quickly show you here. So here I can filter the types of resources I want to see. And what I'm going to show you here is I'm going to select my Arc enabled servers. So I already joined a couple of servers to Azure, like these servers, these Arc enabled servers, these are systems. This can be Windows servers. This can be Linux servers, which are running outside of Azure, right? So I'm going to select these. And next to it, I want to see, for example, my Azure virtual machines. So if I apply this filter, it will now show me all my servers running in Azure and outside of Azure in a single view, right? So wow. this is you can see here, if I zoom in here, the blue ones are actually the Azure virtual machines, and then you have the Azure Arc servers. You can see here my domain controller, my file servers, my Hyper-V server. These are all now connected to Azure, and they show up as an object here. And you can also see that they are joined to an Azure resource group. They're part of a subscription. They basically look like an Azure resource. And that's not because they just look like it. They now are becoming an Azure resource. They are still running on premises in my own data center, in my case, underneath my desk here. But they are now represented in Azure, right? And I can do some cool things here now. I can add, for example, like auto filters. So what I can do here
that's
is something
so simple.
We have tagging.
That's so simple, Thomas.
Yep.
I just say it's so stuff simple. That is, yeah.
Very simple things to do. I can, for example, here then go and use something like we call tags. Tags is a great way of like tagging your resources and then organize them. So what I did is basically I have a cost center tag, and then I want to see all my servers, let's say from cost center 1002. And I can apply this. And now it shows me all my servers which belong to a specific cost center. And you can see here is a mix of servers running in Azure and servers running outside of Azure, right? So very easy stuff to do. You can now use the Azure control plane to get that visibility and organize your resources. Doesn't matter wherever they are running.
So what you're saying is that Azure Arc helps our customers manage everything that is either Microsoft owned or in fact non-Microsoft owned or managed by Azure and put it all into like one place, one kind of bucket.
Exactly.
But you're calling the Azure Resource Manager.
Exactly. This is now, I can now add here my systems, right? I just showed you now servers. So most of them I show you here, these are actually Windows servers, right? I added. But again, we also support Linux servers. They can be virtual or physical. They can run in your own data center. They can run in your branch office. They can run at another cloud provider. We also support, by the way, Kubernetes clusters, data services, and much, much more, which we can add. Now, you might think, Thomas, this is great. Now we get the visibility, but I actually need to do something with it, right? And so what I quickly want to show you is a thing called Azure Policy. And this is especially for people who are interested into like making like configuration management, making sure that the systems are configured securely and compliant with the company policy. Now, again, if you're not familiar with Azure Policy basically allows us to manage our Azure environment. Now, the cloud obviously promises speed and agility, so everyone could go out and just deploy new virtual machines in a couple of seconds. But if you are responsible to manage that environment, you kind of like need to have some policies in place which says, okay, not every developer or IT professional can just go out and deploy a large Azure VM with hundreds of cores, terabytes of memory, and they drain your credit cards in like a couple of seconds, right? You actually want to have there some policies in place, and that is what Azure Policy can do. Now, another part of Azure Policy is that we can actually go out and check if the operating systems of Azure Virtual Machines are configured in a compliant state and in a secure state. And with Azure Arc now, we can do this now for resources which are outside of Azure. So let me quickly show you this. What I would do usually, I would go to assignments and I would create a new assignment. Now, again, I'm going to jump through that really, really quickly because most of the stuff is probably not that interesting at the beginning. But what you can do here is you can see here, I do a scope for all my resources in my Azure subscription, and then I'm going to select the definition. And we provide you with a ton of built-in definitions here. So you can see here, we have different definitions. These can also be like things like UK official and UK NHS, right? So like this goes then out and does an environment check based on this. And we have much, much more of these industry certifications here, if I scroll down. But we also have some which do just technical things like enable the Azure monitoring for VMs and stuff like that. So in my case, what I want to do is a very simple one as well, but a very important one. Like audit my machines with insecure password settings. So I want to actually see if I have any machine servers in my environment, not just in Azure, but also like on-prem to see if they have insecure password settings. Now, think about this as like group policies on steroids, right? This is actually going to help me. These servers don't need to be domain joined. They don't need to be in the same domain. The only thing they need to have is the Azure Arc agent installed, and they're going to show you later how that works. But so I select that, and now on the next page, which is new now, you can see here, if you worked with this before, you can see here now I can actually go in and say, well, also include my Arc connected servers. So again, meaning servers which are not part of Azure or not running in Azure. So I can go through and actually run through this. But this will then take a while until this goes out and checks all my servers. And so like in a good cooking show, I already prepared this.
Let me guess, one you made earlier, Thomas.
Exactly. So I prepared something earlier. And
yeah.
You can actually go to you can actually go to the compliance view. And what you can see here is, first of all, I do a very bad job when it comes to compliance. That's number one. And the second thing here is you can see here, I have a couple of policies here which I'm not compliant to, which are assigned to my environment by either by me or by the people who are managing my stuff. And you can also see I have a couple of them which are compliant. But on the top here, you can see here the server policy to audit machines with insecure password settings. So this is the policy I just showed you. And you see I'm not compliant, not with a single machine even. And if I scroll down, you can see here all the policies. And you can actually figure out what it checks. Some of them do like maximum password age, which needs to be restricted and stuff like that, or where should the passwords be stored. And you can see here all the stuff here. But more interestingly, I obviously now for my environment want to know which resources are not compliant. So if I click on non-compliant resources, you can now see that I have my Azure virtual machines as well as my on-prem servers here next to each other. So you can see here dark names, but if I scroll over here, you can see here that I have Microsoft Compute virtual machines. These are the Azure VMs. And then we have Microsoft Hybrid Compute machines, which are basically servers running in your own data center outside of Azure. And so I can actually see now, okay, look, all these servers are not really compliant. So I could reach out to the owner of that server, the administrator of that server, or if I'm that, I would obviously go out and fix that, right? So that was basically the first demo I wanted to show you here.
Wow, Thomas, that is pretty damn cool. And I didn't realize it was so powerful that you can do so many things across so many different planes, right? Parallel, all at the same time, all at the same place. That's blown me away, really, to be honest with you. How do we add a server into Azure Arc? I mean, that you know what I mean? Like, we've got the platform. I've got my virtual machines running. I've got, you know, five locations. Each one's got a server. How do I go about doing that?
Yep, absolutely. So as you said, like as I showed you in the first demo now, it was really about, okay, I already have a couple of servers added, right? And the way I'm doing this, I can show you that in our next demo here. So if you want to try this out, and basically I highly encourage you to try this out, there's ways you can create, I will also talk about that. If you haven't really played with Azure, you can create a free Azure subscription and then Azure Arc, the base settings, and I will talk about this. They're even free, right? So you don't even pay for any of that. As soon as you don't, like, at one point, I will show you more management technologies, and for them, you will then actually pay. But to join this, like all of the things I showed you with like the sorting, I like sort and actually use tags, this is free. So what you would do, you would go to the search here, and you would basically just search for Azure Arc. And if you then go to the Azure Arc page here, I call it we call it the Azure Arc Center. So this is the piece where you actually manage everything which comes in outside from Azure, right? So this is actually Azure Arc actually bridges the resources which are running outside of Azure. I hope you see what I did there, but you have here is again different management technologies, and I spoke about this. Again, you can manage different things here. We have servers, Kubernetes clusters, SQL servers, even Azure Stack HCI. We have other things there as well. But you ask me how to add a server. So what I go is I click on servers, and you can see here are all the machines I already added. Now, this is not your home, basically. This is my home here, so they run my location. But to add a new one, I would just simply go to click on add. And it's actually very simple. So what is happening is we download an agent, we install that agent, and then we register that agent to our Azure environment. And that's it. Now, to make this easier, we have two wizards here, which can help you actually adding these servers.
I'm going to stop you there, right? So Microsoft has not just got one wizard working for them. They've got two wizards. Like, they've got two Gandalfs working at Microsoft.
Not just one.
Why do we need two wizards at Microsoft?
It's very simple. So the first wizard is very good in adding single servers, right? So what happens is actually you generate the script which downloads the agent, installs the agent, and then registers that server. Now, the difference here is when you register that server, you need to log in with your Azure credentials, right? That makes sense. However, you can imagine that this is not really a good way of doing it if you add multiple servers, right? And so with this, we can use a service principle, and that's basically just a ID basically you can use, which has access it has is actually to add, or the only permission it has is to actually add servers to Azure. Now, I just want to quickly show you what that means.
We're going to see what Gandalf can do. Right, perfect.
Exactly. So first, if we start at Wizard, we will see actually the prerequisites again. Very simple, by the way. That's actually perfect for actually telling you what you actually need to have. So you need to have outgoing traffic to some of the Azure APIs. And you can find a list of these APIs right here on port 443. So all the communication is going outside and it's encrypted. And then you need to obviously have local admin rights to install that agent. That is basically it, what you need. The next thing, you can actually go and you can then select the Azure subscription you want to join it to. You would have your resource group, for example, where you would organize your Arc-enabled servers or your applications in. And then you would select the closest Azure region. So for many of you, it's probably right now UK South. So this is only the region where the agent connects to, right? Where the APIs are hosted. I could also select here now whatever I want. I could select that US one as well. But for me, West Europe is the closest one to my systems. I can also select if it's a Windows server or Linux. And if it's behind a proxy, I could also configure that. The next one is we could use the tags. Those are the tags I basically showed you also with the cost center. We already give you a couple of them to help you organize, but you can also define your custom tags, and you can also obviously do that later on. And then at the end, you get basically that script, which you then can copy and download and then run on your machine. And again, this will just basically download the installer. In the Windows world, this is an MSI file, then install that. And then the last one is running that command. Now, let me quickly switch to my machine here. So this server, in terms of time, I already installed that that server, like the agent on it. But what happens is on that server called app01, I now have a process running. This is actually the process from the Azure Arc agent or the Azure Connected Machine agent, right? And that does the whole communication now from that machine. That makes it show up. Now, I get also a management tool here called the Azure Connected Machine agent. And if I hit that, you can see here I have different options here available on that machine. Again, can do a couple of different things. But most importantly, what I can do is I can actually show some information now here. And this takes a second. And then you can see here some Azure-related information. I can see what resource name that server has. I can see in which resource group it's joined, which Azure subscription, which Azure tenant, which VM ID this server has, and if all the services are running. Now, again, this is pretty cool here to manage that. Now, what happens after install that, you can see here that server shows up here. And if I go to that server, you can see here now, this is how it looks like when it's connected. And this is now how it looks like in the Azure portal.
Brilliant. And so once you've got a server onboarded to Azure Arc, what can you do with it? Like, great, yep. I've got it there.
Yep. As you can see, I completely get it. There is obviously much more than Thomas just showed us, right? Like showing that up, doing some policy stuff, this is all great. But I obviously as a Windows Server Administrator, I probably need to do more than just having a look at servers, right, the whole day. So as you can see, it looks like an Azure resource. You can see here the different tags. You can also see here some additional information. I can also see that this server is joined to a local domain. Again, it doesn't need to be, but it can. You can see here on the left side, I can do some role-based access control, for example. So I could now in Azure only give permission to people who actually need to manage that server and not like to everyone. And then I get a couple of awesome things here. So the first thing I want to show you is Security Center. So I enabled Security Center, so I get Azure Defender for Windows Server. And that means I also get information about how the system is not configured securely. So I have a couple of recommendations here, and we also give them basically a priority how fast you should take care of it. So for example, in this scenario, we see that I did not have all my system updates installed, and I should probably do that to make sure everything is okay.
Thomas, seriously, right? You're uncompliant and you're not up to date. Like, this is
I'm a horrible admin. I'm really a horrible admin, but again, Azure Arc and the Azure Control Plane is obviously here to help me to get that visibility and to see like, hey, Thomas, you do actually a bad job. So let's better go out and fix this, right? Do we actually have to fix this? What we also have is a thing, and I need to see if we have that available here, is called Azure Monitor. So I can not only like get these security recommendations, I also get a monitoring view here. So the first thing I want to show you here is the map view. This basically lists my server here in the middle, and it shows me to which endpoints or other servers this server is connecting. So I get this awesome map to see, okay, this one is, for example, connecting to a couple of public IP addresses on that specific port, but it does also connect to some, for example, local ports here as well. I can see here that it connects to some like internal servers as well. And then obviously I get the simple performance monitoring. It's not that simple, but the things you need, right? You need to know if there's enough disk space, how is your CPU utilization, your memory utilization. You get all that information directly here, and you can even configure alerts here. And again, think about this for a moment. This is now for one server, right? But you can configure that over all your servers. Doesn't matter where they're running, right? And you can control it from Azure, like in a single control plane.
Unbelievably simple.
Yep. The only installing the agent, clicking on enable, and that's it, basically. There's no like magic. I don't need to install anything. I don't like in terms of like I need to set up a monitoring tool or anything. It's just there. Yeah. And we obviously update, like add more features to Azure Monitor and do all the other Azure service pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Another part is obviously sometimes you need to deal with logs. So what we have here is, for example, with Log Analytics, we can actually send all the system logs of a server to Azure, to a Log Analytics workspace. And then I can, for example, run here a query. And now I can run the performance query here. And you can see here down here, I get all these performance logs. Again, in terms of time, I'm not going to go too deep into this, but we also can have the security logs and all that, like basically all the event logs, whatever I want to enable, I can actually put this in and get all that information directly shown here. Now, speaking of that, I can also obviously want to see what else is going on. So I can enable change tracking for my server. So what I have here is I can see all the changes happening to my server. So you can see here if some services changed, if there were some changes made to the system, I can see that. I can also get a software inventory of that system. So I see all, for example, in this case, like there's not much software on that server, but all the updates installed, and I could go and search for something if I want to look if something is installed, like a specific type of software. I could browse through this.
Do you need a new license, Thomas? We can help you out with that. Maybe we can sell you a new license.
I would be happy to have some sort of software I could install. but you can actually see that, like what is going on that system, right? And then you saw here on the left side, I can also go and have a policy view here where I now see all the policies again, just assigned to this server. I don't see all the policies. I just see the ones which are assigned to me now. And I can see here, well, okay, I'm not compliant with two. And again, it's the same thing as I showed before, but now in the context of just one server. The other big thing admins obviously need to do is update management, right? This is like something which regularly comes up. And you can see here, I'm also, as I said before, Security Center already told me you are doing a bad job. You have updates that you need to install. Now, if you click on update management, you can see here all the missing updates. I can see some of them are just Defender definitions, which I don't care so much, but there's, for example, the Arc agent even, which is not up to date, but there's obviously would also show all the other Windows updates as well. And now what I can do to fix this is actually schedule an update deployment. I would give that a name. Let's call that server. Doesn't really matter. It's just for me to recognize. It already detected that this is a Windows server. I can configure the maintenance window. I can say, well, reboot if required. That sounds like a good option, but I can also say always reboot if I want to or never. And then I go out into scheduling part, and now I can say update now, which would mean in the next 5 to 10 minutes, it would basically update that server. And obviously after that, reboot it if needed. However, since we are in the middle of a demo here, it's probably not a good idea. So let's schedule this for later. So I can schedule this. And what you can also see here, I can make that even a recurring task. So actually I can say, well, I want this server to be updated every Tuesday night, for example, like whatever I want to, or every Thursday night or whatever, I can do that. And then I can do some other stuff here. I can basically say which update classifications should be installed, which updates should be included, excluded. I can even run some post and pre-scripts here. And at the end, I review it and create that task. And that would then basically go out and patch that server to the configured time. Now, you probably say, well, Thomas, I have 100 servers. I don't want to do that per server, right? So yes, so if you see here in the menu, you can see manage multiple machines, and that directly takes you to our Azure Automation account with the update management solution. And here you basically get all the update, all the systems here, running in Azure, running outside of Azure. And you can see here if they're compliant and non-compliant. And here I could then also go and update these systems. And the difference here is I could have the exact same options. I can also schedule it, make it recurring tasks, but I can now select a group of servers. So I can set like, okay, let's do group one of all the servers, like domain controller one, file server one, and all that on Tuesday night. And then I can create a second group of servers on like domain controller two and stuff like that on Thursday nights. And so I make sure that like if something goes wrong, I still have all the other servers available. And again, I get that single.
So is this, so simple because it's just basically like setting up a group policy, you know, on a bigger scale. It's just so it's just so simple. I love it. And so, oh, pardon me, going there. Just concentrating so much there that I forgot to breathe. That's how exciting your demo was, Thomas. You said the Azure App is not just about supporting servers, but there's other services that it can do. And it's not just servers, it's not just cloud servers, it's not just Azure, it's not just on-prem, but you mentioned that it can do other things. What other things can it do? Because that is surely of interest to people.
Yep, absolutely. So again, you can what we distinguish a little bit between like Azure Arc enabled infrastructure. So that means like joining existing infrastructure. Again, this can be servers, Linux servers, Windows servers, physical, virtual, doesn't matter where they're running. We have Kubernetes clusters. And again, this doesn't mean that it's only a
Hold
Microsoft
up,
flavored
hold up.
Kubernetes cluster.
Kubernetes cluster. You just said that like it was just like you just flashed through it. Kubernetes. Just give us double down on Kubernetes for us because, you know, some people might not want to know what you're about.
Absolutely. So Kubernetes cluster is basically the orchestrator to like organize your containerized apps, right? And we see a lot of customers running this inside Azure, but also outside of Azure in their own data centers and at other places as well. And these need to be managed in a similar way as like, for example, servers do, right? So we have tools like the monitoring part I showed you for servers. We can also enable that specifically for Kubernetes clusters. Obviously, you get some additional information about the containers and all like Kubernetes specific things. We can enable, for example, the security center part. So you actually see if you're configured securely. We can enable policies, like I showed you with servers, to make sure that your Kubernetes cluster is configured in a compliant state. And then something we can also do there, and that's very important, is app deployment and kind of like at scale, right? So again, if you're maybe this is more for DevOps and developer people, but if you, for example, need to update your containerized applications on a Kubernetes cluster or deploy them even, you can now do that and configure that directly within the Azure portal from a technology like we call it GitOps. So what you do is you check in your application code into a Git repository and you tell the Kubernetes clusters to regularly check that Git repository for changes. And as soon as there's a change to the code, like if you do deploy an update to
Yeah,
it
great.
grabs that application and deploys it on a Kubernetes cluster. Now, you would say, well, if I have one Kubernetes cluster, why don't I do that directly or something? But obviously, if you have one, at least you get to this CI/CD pipeline, which you can work on. So everything is actually checked in and you have a nice history of what's happened. And secondly, think about it, if you have hundreds of Kubernetes clusters running in different locations, you can
Yeah.
now go out and update these applications running on these Kubernetes clusters within seconds, right? And then so that
Yeah.
is pretty awesome as well.
So
And then
it's all about scale then, isn't it, Thomas? That's what you're saying. It's all about scale.
It can be. It's about scale, absolutely. So it scales very, very, very well with also with servers. But I see already a lot of like small companies taking advantage of this, right? If you have only a couple of servers, for example, running in your branch office or something like that already
Yeah.
can Azure Arc can already help you giving that experience. It's really a good mix. It absolutely is about scale, but you can also use it in very small environments. Like I talk to very small customers which do only a couple of like a handful of servers, if you will. But they're so happy that they now don't need a VPN to manage this. They don't need to do like any fancy stuff. They just log into the Azure portal and they can actually go out and deploy updates and other stuff directly from there.
So right, I've got it now, right? It's about scale if you want it, or simplicity if you need it. Got it. There we are. I'm all about creating like some buzz terms there. So scale if you want it, simplicity if you need it. I love it. Azure Arc, I'm sold. So where can people find out more information, Thomas? Where, like, I mean, obviously they haven't all got access to you. So if they haven't got access to Thomas, where can they get the information they need?
So there are a couple of places where you can go. So obviously the Microsoft Docs are a great place to actually learn about these technologies, where we have all the documentation for Azure Arc, for all this stuff. We also have a Microsoft Learn module. So Microsoft Learn, for those who don't know, it's a free learning platform with like videos, with text, with little questions for you to actually see if you understand it. But also in many cases, we have like little sandboxes. So if you don't have an Azure subscription and you don't want to sign up and you don't, like, for example, you don't have a credit card available, you don't want to sign up with your credit card, you don't have to, because there we give you a sandbox for a couple of hours a day where you can play with your Azure environment. And again, it's not just for Azure Arc, it's also for other Azure technology, it's also for even Microsoft 365 technology, so for all these spaces as well. And it also covers, for example, the Azure Arc enabled data services part, and that one allows you to actually run Azure SQL outside in your data center. And then last but not least, I also want to highlight the Azure Arc Jumpstart project. So this is a very good place to go, is azurearcjumpstart.io. And if you want to try it out, they build a lot of automation to build all these environments, to onboard resources, to like really check it out and actually play with it without you or me investing a lot of time setting things up. You can really quickly take advantage of all the automation they built. To if you want to do a presentation in your company, if you want to do a POC in your company, that is really, really helpful.
Sweet. So I can't remember all of that, but I did write most of it down. But what we would do is we'll make sure that information is in the description of this where we post it, so that people can go and look at all that amazing resource, because A, there's a ton of free stuff. And B, you know, people are going to need their own Thomas if they're going to go and set all this stuff up. So, Thomas, amazing. So this is I really hate saying this is the fun bit, but it's more the unknown bit. So we've decided in our infinite wisdom that we're going to have a server meme review. Now, a couple of colleagues of mine there and the producers have all got together, and I've not seen this, right? So I actually don't know what's going to happen. And apparently, because I'm not a server architect or, someone like yourself, apparently I might not get this, but I think apparently you're going to find this very funny. So we'd love to know your thoughts on these memes. We'd love to get a rating and a comment from the audience as well. But let's sort of actually gauge your reaction to a couple of memes. So meme one, let's see what happens. This is literally brand new. We don't know if this is going to work. So meme one, what the hell is this? When you're working in a server of maintenance and you have to unplug and replug, I mean, Thomas, have you been in that situation? I mean, I get it. Like, it's funny.
not that extreme, but yes. So I seen very, very, like, I don't know if I can say it, but very bad things in my life. And yes, these things look similar to this. And well, yeah, it's insane.
Okay, right. Okay, so obviously, if you've got memes, feel free to post them in the comment section. But Thomas, we're gonna look at the second meme. I think we just get through this now, because obviously, what we really do when a server is down. Now, Thomas, that surely can't be you with all your uncompliance.
Yeah, I think that could be me looking at my compliance state. Absolutely. Yeah. No, this is, yeah. Sometimes I remember these times when I was working as a like system administrator, right? And we had so many different systems, like different like hardware systems, different rate controllers and stuff like that. And things would obviously break all the time. And then you needed to actually really hope that, like, sometimes you were just like, I reboot this and hopefully it comes back up, right? It's like, and I know everyone was waiting. I actually remember, it was not a server. It was not like, it was like a web platform. And I remember like something didn't work anymore. And I remember like the CTO of the company and a couple of engineers, and we were all sitting around like one computer and no one didn't know what to do anymore. And we said, okay, let's just reboot it. But however, the server was like in another country, right? It would have been hours away and we would need some remote answer on. So like everyone was waiting for it and someone pressed the button to reboot the system. And we were like all, okay, hopefully it comes back up.
Please.
But and luckily, I spoiler alert, it did. So everything went fine. But
cool. Okay, well, honestly, if you're watching this and you've seen funny memes or you want to rate those memes, let us know. Appreciate that. Didn't know what was going to happen there, but I think it worked out all right. We were obviously praying to the meme gods. Before we wrap up, Thomas, let's just recap the points that we covered. So, you know, what were the top two things you would say we covered in this episode?
So I think the most important takeaway here is really, especially if you work with Windows Server in your on-prem environment and you never really worked with Azure before, I think your takeaway can be that Azure technology is not just to run stuff in Azure, but it can also be there to make your on-premises environment even better, right? It really wants, we want to help you there. We don't say, well, look, it's just to move everything to Azure. I mean, of course, there are some advantages if you do move things to Azure in some cases, but we completely understand that you can't move everything, that you don't want to move everything. And in that case, like at Azure technologies like Azure Arc and all our management technologies can make things better for you. That is number one. And so the second one I would say is really about the different management technologies you have here. You saw I went did a lot of demo here. So actually doing update management directly from the cloud, making sure that everything is compliant, getting all this information in one single place, doing monitoring. I think that can really help you. So if you're a Windows Server admin or even a decision maker or whoever is in charge of that, you probably want to have a look at this and try it out. Again, some of the features are even free. Some of the features then cost some sort of money. But I think it's a really good place to actually have a look and see if Azure Arc can fill your need and make your life hopefully easier.
Anything that we can make our lives easier, Thomas. And I think that's the thing that I took from it. It's that scale if you want it. And simplicity when you need it. So that's my marketing spiel version of what you said. But yeah, that it's phenomenal. And Thomas, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really special. And you know what? I actually always love talking to people who genuinely are experts, because it makes such a difference to me and my understanding, but also hopefully the audience and, you know, them understanding what technology is actually available for them. Because I think there's a big misconception in our market that these things are a secret. They're not a secret. We just don't tell enough people about it. And actually, that's the thing that I've learned from, Azure Arc today. Actually, it's accessible and it allows people, like you said, to maximize that on-prem solution with that cloud. Yep. And that ultimately is hybrid, and that's what everyone's talking about. So look, you've in half an hour made that really, really simple and shown us some absolutely, simple demos that people can get their hands on and go out and practice today. So Thomas, thank you so much. Would be the classic bow. I feel like I'll be doing that at the end of every episode. So everybody, thank you so much for watching this episode from the rock to the cloud. Keep your eye out for what's coming next. We're going to have more exciting episodes coming soon. And remember, if you've got any thoughts or comments, or you know, you just simply want to get in touch, make sure you drop a comment into the comment section. So thank you very much for listening today. I've been your host, Tom Hall, and hopefully you've learned as much as I have, because certainly Thomas has blown my mind. Thanks a lot. Cheers, everybody.